God is this class is sadhana for housewives. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes who are the greatest housewives who are always thinking of Krishna. Do you know who those were? The gopis. The gopis are always, they were housewives and they had so much work, but somehow they were always thinking of Krishna. So I'll read one verse. The ladies in Mathura were appreciating the gopis and how they were able to always think of Krishna, even despite the fact the whole day long they were doing their housework. So how could they do this? How could they think of Krishna while they were doing all their duties? So many duties. They were very, very busy. So I will sing this verse for you. And when I read the translation, you can listen. Some of the things will not be the same duties as what you have. And some may be the same duties as what you have. So you can see which duties are similar that the gopis had and the duties that you had. Because they were living in the village. So you were living in the city. So different duties. You won't be doing the same duties in the house as these gopis were doing. So I'll sing this verse for you. Yado kane vahanane matana palepa penkin kanaka vidita kshana marjana to kayam pichayana manura tadiyo shikam yo kanya vajasya uruka machitayana. The ladies of Braj are the most fortunate of women because with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their souls always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, riding on swings, taking care of their crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleaning their houses, and so on. By their exalted Krishna consciousness, they automatically acquire all desirable things. So the gopis were housewives, but there is a little difference between the gopis and ordinary housewives. What is that? What is so special about the gopis? What can you say is very special about them? That if you look at the gopis in Vrindavan and you look at ordinary housewives.
Gopis are always thinking of Krishna.
Yes, thinking of Krishna. Okay, thinking, that's one thing. What else are they doing that's different? They're thinking of Krishna. Serving. How are they, but while they're doing their housework?
Huh? They wanted to do everything for Krishna only.
Yeah. Okay. Singing. They're singing while they're doing their housework. They're thinking of Krishna, and they're cooking for Krishna. Whatever they're doing, they're thinking to service for Krishna. So here it says they were churning butter. Maybe you don't do that. You just go to the shop and buy your butter. And you used to churn. Yes, many years ago. Yes, in the village, or let's see, village life. Village life is different than the city life. You don't get so much exercise in the city, except maybe to walk to your car or walk to the bus. But you don't have like carrying. I used to live in the village in Goa for 5 years. So you had to bring the water from the well with a bucket or with a pot. Oh, they have plastic now. So they throw it in the well and you have to bring all your water up like this, no running water. So many duties in the village that you don't really have. But some of the duties are the same. So which duties that you do are the same as Krishna, as the gopis? Which are the same things that you will do in your house and they will do in their house?
Cooking,
okay. What else? Yeah, taking care of children, husband, and family. Okay, that's what the gopis, and you also do?
Singing for Krishna.
Singing, you can do. And what other? Cleaning your house you do, or maybe you have servants, I don't know. But some cleaning you probably have to do also yourself, that the servants don't do. They're not so perfect, so you also have to do some cleaning. And so, you have these duties. So, you have your household duty. What is the purpose of your household duties? What is the reason for why you do everything you do in your house? Why do you clean? Why do you cook? Why do you serve your family? Why do you do anything in your house?
Love.
Okay, out of love. Very good. Very good. So you love your family. You want to make them happy. And so now, as a devotee, there's one extra thing added for housewives. One more thing we have to do. And what is that? Krishna. You do your household duty as a service for Krishna. You take care of your children to please Krishna, to make them nice devotees. You cook as an offering for Krishna. Whatever you do in your house, it is a service. It is Krishna seva. You can make it that way. You can make your house a temple. And whatever you do in your house, it will be for Krishna, and then you'll be happy. Otherwise, if you're just cleaning and there's no purpose, and then you'll get tired of it. You'll say, why am I doing this? So as devotees, even to be a mother, to be a housewife, everything you can do for Krishna. So now we know what is the purpose. So how can we do our duties as a service for Krishna, at the same time always remember Krishna? That is another thing. So one thing that is very nice, of course, we're going to work on our minds today a little bit, our mentality, our consciousness, because that's the most important thing as housewives for Krishna. Sadhana for housewives is, what is your mind thinking, what is your mind doing, and what is your consciousness? So that's one first step that's very nice for your mind. One word, gratitude. Everybody knows what this means, gratitude? What does it mean? It means you're thankful. Yes.
Thankful to Krishna.
Yes. Krishna is giving you this house. Krishna is giving you this husband, these children. He's giving you everything. First thing in the morning when you wake up, you should say thank you to Krishna. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this nice service, that I can serve you, even though I'm in the house, I'm not in the temple, I'm in the house, but I can still serve you, Krishna. So you should be thankful to Krishna. Thank you for giving this opportunity to be the servant of the servant. When you're a housewife, you have to be servant of the servant. You understand what this means very easily, because you have to be servant of your children, servant of your husband, servant of everyone. That is the housewife. Servant, if you have deities, servant of the deities. Servant of your friends, you invite them. Servant of your neighbors. So it's, for housewives, the most important thing is to learn how to be a servant. And then, this is also the qualification for going to the spiritual world. And gratitude is the first step, because gratitude is the first stepping stone to prema. Prema means love of Krishna. So gratitude is a very important first step. If you're always thinking some negative thoughts, like, then you'll have a negative day. You may think, oh, so much rain today. Then you go out the door, you may slip and fall in the puddle. Or you go in the temple and you think, oh no, I forgot this. And then you may bump your head on the door. So if you think like negative, then you bring negative. Now if you think positive, you will bring positive. So if you are very grateful for your gifts, then your life will be very wonderful. It will be a nice change in your life. So when you're very positive and you're thanking Krishna, and then you will meet somebody who wants to know about Krishna. Krishna will send you somebody very nice to talk to. Or you will come to the temple and you will get some special Mahaprasad from Jagannath Puri. Wonderful things will happen when you are feeling in a grateful mood. And this gratitude prepares your heart for love. It softens your heart and it will attract Radharani. And she will give you bhakti for Krishna. So every day you wake up, you say, thank you, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Krishna, for this day, for this service. Be happy in your service as a housewife. So I would just like you, right now, if you have some paper and pen, I want you to write down two things that you want to thank Krishna for. If you don't have paper and pen, you just think of two things. Just take a minute or two and write down two things.
You have to write down
your own thoughts.
Okay.
Yes. It can be what I said, but it's good if you have something you can think of yourself. Like to share, yes? Bhagavati?
I thank Krishna for sending Narayani Mahadev.
What's number two?
Second is thank you, Krishna, for tolerating me. I'm doing so many mistakes every minute, every second. But still, he's tolerating me. For that, I really thank Krishna.
Okay, now let's. Anybody else? You have something? Oh, yes, that he's coming in your tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Second thing is that although I'm very often doing mistakes and all, he is allowing me to serve him.
Okay, yes, Krishna, he overlooks Putana. She came to kill him and he overlooked that part, that he gave her, she gave him milk and he only saw the good. Yes, she gave me milk. She's my mother. He overlooked the bad part that she put the poison, yes? Oh, good. Good. Okay, very nice. Very nice. Would anybody else like to?
Yes? I thank Krishna for giving me strength to come over.
Oh, yes. Sometimes it's difficult just to even things we take for granted. Then, yes, that's good. Yes.
Human body.
A woman body.
It's very natural for us to do services.
Yes, yes.
Consciously or unconsciously, we are always in the service of somebody.
Yeah. So you're thanking for the woman's body because it makes you want to do service always.
Yeah. And thank you, Krishna, for that we have landed in this Krishna moment.
Yes. Somehow or other. So thanking Krishna that you've landed in this movement. That's nice. Okay, we'll have one more person, if anybody, yeah?
I thank Krishna because I got so many
associations that keeps you in Krishna consciousness.
And one more thing, I thank Krishna that you got Guru Seva.
Guru Seva. Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to discuss five areas for housewives. Yes? At the end, yeah. I mean, will you remember it? Write down your question. And then we'll stop maybe in the middle also, and then at the end for questions. Okay? So, five areas of your life that are very important for a housewife. One is japa, first most important thing. Second, cooking. Right? You're all cooking? And third, deity worship, if you have deities. If you don't have deities, then that means pictures, or if you do bhajan, however you do some worship in your house. That's number three. Number four, children. Very important for housewives. And number five, preaching. Everybody can preach, even the housewives. So these five things are the most important in the sadhana for the housewife. So first we'll take japa. How we chant our rounds is how we relate with Krishna. And this determines if we chant our rounds first thing in the morning, that will determine how our whole day will go. If our japa is nice, our day will go nice. If our japa is without interruption, then our day will be easy and without interruption and smooth. If we are very attentive to our chanting, then we'll be attentive to our other duties, our children and everything. If we are inattentive to our chanting, then we will be inattentive in our other duties. If we are impatient to finish our chanting, we will be impatient to finish our other duties. We won't have our heart in our other duties also, which are all actually servants for Krishna. We see our chanting as a burden, then we will see everything as a burden. The children will be a burden, the housework will be a burden. But if our chanting goes nice, then even the housework will go nicely. Because the same concentration is required to think of Krishna when you're chanting japa and when you're cleaning the house and when you're cooking. The same mentality should be there of thinking of Krishna. And if you're thinking of Krishna while you're doing your duties, then Krishna will help you and you'll be very happy. And sometimes if you have small children and you cannot, as soon as they wake, I know because I had a son, as soon as he wakes up, that's it. You can't chant anymore. So you have to get up early and chant before they wake up. This is what I used to do. Another solution for finishing your 16 rounds, if you have a lot of children in work, Srila Prabhupada, when he was Grihastha, then Srila Prabhupada would chant four rounds when he got up, four rounds before eating breakfast, and he wouldn't eat unless he chanted those four rounds. Four rounds before breakfast, four rounds before lunch, and he wouldn't eat until he chanted his second four rounds. Four rounds before dinner, that makes 12, and no dinner till you chant, and four rounds before you sleep, and don't sleep until you finish your 16 rounds. Now that's how Srila Prabhupada used to finish. And he was Grihastha. He told his servants that's how he would do his 16 rounds. So 4, 4, 4, 4, like that. And sometimes if 16 seems like a very big number, but 4 is not so bad. And then you say, oh yes, 4 before breakfast, 4 before lunch, okay, no problem. 4 before dinner, 4 before sleep. Of course, best thing is if you chant all 16 in the morning. But that might not be possible if you have to make the breakfast, husband goes to work, children go to school. And so at least try for 4 rounds before your day starts. Or even 8 rounds, if you get up a little early, you can do 8 rounds before your day starts. So that would be very nice. You can try to make it a goal to chant. Okay, I will try. Now I'm chanting 4 rounds, then maybe I will try to do 8 rounds before I have to do all my work. So that is nice. Now I would like to do a little exercise. Everybody needs to have a partner. Two together. Everybody should have a partner now. Okay? You have two and two here. Two. Yeah. Okay, everybody? Needs a partner. Anybody doesn't have a partner? Raise your hand. Everybody has? Okay. Yeah? Oh, she's okay. In the back. You can go sit in the back. Piche. She doesn't have a partner. Oh. Will you help? No, wait. Raise your hand if you don't have a partner. Raise your hand. Okay, everybody has? Oh, you need one? Okay. Here, you can come up here. Oh, wait a minute. Here, up here. She doesn't have a pardon. Somebody should come. There's three back there, so one can come up. Yes? There, two. Okay, so you have, yeah, everybody has a partner. Okay, and so what I want you to do, now everybody, one person will be A and one person will be B. So all the A, raise your hand. Who is going to be A? It doesn't matter, because both of you will do the same thing. Oh wait, you two are together here. Yeah. Okay. So now, partner A is going to chant some of their, like they're chanting japa. And partner B is going to listen how they are chanting. And what you must listen to see if any mantra is missing or any syllable is missing from the mantra. Like Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare, so two Hare's are missing. Hare Krishna is missing. So you must listen. So we will see. You will chant. One will chant, others will listen. And then we will change. So everybody will get a chance. Okay, you can start chanting. Are you listening? She's chanting. You listen. Huh? Okay, now you stop, and whoever was listening, you tell your partner if you heard anything missed, if you missed, they missed anything in their mantra. Yeah, just look good, I could hear all this. So you can tell them if any mantra, like Hare was missing, or sometimes we say Ram, 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 instead of two Rams. I heard people saying Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Many rounds. So sometimes we add, sometimes we subtract when we chant. Okay, now the other person should chant, and you switch, and the other person will listen. okay, we stop. And now the other person should tell what they heard, if they missed anything.
They missed the last word, Hare.
You don't have to tell everybody. We won't share on this one. You just tell your partner. Just tell your partner. We don't want to make the news for everyone to hear. Okay, you share. We won't tell the whole class the mistakes that we make, but we will try to improve our chanting. Now, tomorrow, when you chant your rounds, or even today, remember what your partner told you. So that's how you can improve your chanting. Okay? So we talked about Java. Now, we can do one more exercise with Japa. This is all by yourself. You don't need a partner. It will be just individual practice. So, what we're going to do now is an exercise that will help you to focus on the sound of the holy name. What we're going to do is you will chant your Hare Krishna, and I want you to listen to just one mantra at a time. Don't think of the last one, don't think of the next one. Just the one that you are chanting right now. I want you to hear very carefully every syllable, every word. This, if you can do many mantras in a row, then you will be in the spiritual world. You'll be very happy. If you just can hear one mantra perfectly. So this is a yogic practice. But it's also very nice for devotees to do, just to hear Krishna's name. And we're going to concentrate and focus on the sound, just one mantra at a time. So I'll let you chant again now for a few minutes and practice trying to do this. Okay? You can chant. Ready? Gratitude. be thankful to Krishna. And second, when you chant your japa, try to hear every syllable, every word of the mantra. And try to arrange your day so that you can finish your 16 rounds. If you're not chanting 16 rounds, then whatever amount you are chanting, then try to make a goal, like, I will chant 4 rounds every day, I will chant 8 rounds every day, if you're not chanting 16 rounds. So first was japa. Second is cooking. This is something I think that everybody does all their life, unless you have a cook. But even if you have a cook, you see they only come once a day and you still end up cooking part of the time. So I was very fortunate yesterday to meet Jamuna, who is the most expert of cooking. Prabhupada's disciple is very, very expert. So I asked Jamuna last night, I said, what are the 3 most important things if you want to be cooked for Krishna? So she shared with me, what are those 3 most important things? One was cleanliness. Kitchen must be clean. Clothes should be clean, food must be clean, and your consciousness, your mind must be clean. So mind, of course, that is purity. Purity means your state of mind, your consciousness. Because it is not exactly the food that people are eating. They are eating your consciousness. Whatever you're thinking of when you cook, it goes into the food. If you have love, then they will eat love. If you're upset or angry, then they will eat anger. And you'll have more fights in your family. And so the consciousness is very important when you're cooking. Cleanliness, purity, and quality. The food, the sabdis, everything should be first class for Krishna. Now, how can we think of Krishna while we're cooking? Who can give me some ideas? How we can remember Krishna while we're cooking? Praise Radharani that I'm helping you. I'm just your servant in your kitchen. Okay, that's very nice. You can pray before you go in. Also, while you're cooking, please help me, Radharani. I know you are the real cook. I am just serving you. And this is your kitchen. One of my friends, in her kitchen, I went into her, actually went to the temple, they had a temple, and if you look in every container, there were labels of, you know, like sugar, salt, jira, not just sugar, salt, jira, Krishna sugar, Krishna jira, Krishna salt, Krishna. So she didn't forget who it was. She didn't forget Krishna. So she had Krishna's name everywhere on all the spices and all the ingredients. This is Krishna's atta, this is all Krishna's, and then you Krishna's kitchen, you know, or Radharani's kitchen. So these are some things you can do to make it help you remember Krishna when you're cooking. You can have the name of it on your spices, Krishna's name, Radharani's name, on your spices and everything. And I saw that with one of my friends. You can say prayers, yes? Brahma Samhita while you're cooking, if you know it. Yes, you can say prayers while you're cooking. You can sing Hare Krishna if you don't know prayers. Bhajan, you can sing, or you can listen on the CD.
Yeah,
now it's the CD, CD Loka, CD time. We have our technical help here. You can play CDs while you're cooking of bhajan and different nice even classes and different things while you're cooking. And so then the class will go into the food. The bhajan will go into the food. And your family will eat the bhajan in the class. And they'll come out great scholars. And so these are things you can do to improve your consciousness while you're cooking for Krishna. Anything else we can do? Okay, think what kind of food Krishna likes. Yes, that Krishna likes to eat this. Now, I like to eat this, so I'm cooking this. Now, we think of Krishna. I know one of my friends, she had a hired cook, but the hired cook was a devotee. And she told her hired cook, you must go in front of my Giriraj and ask him what he wants to eat today. And then she will cook what Giriraj tells her to cook every day. So if you have deities, you can go in front of your deities and ask them, what would you like to eat today? Then you can cook for them. Yes. So how to please Krishna, this is the main thing also in your cooking. And variety is important. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Radharani never cooks the same thing twice, ever. There's always something different. Of course, we cannot even take Radharani, but at least we can make a variety, even variety of colors. Don't make everything green. Green dog, green sabji, green rice. There should be, you know, something white, something yellow, something green. It can be art, artwork when you're cooking. And it will be pleasing to the eyes, pleasing to the taste. That is Vishal for Krishna. Yeah, I have that picture, yeah. Prabhupada cooking. I have that in my kitchen. Yes, you can have the picture of Prabhupada cooking. And I have another picture. I have Dhanvantari with a nectar pot in my kitchen. Dhanvantari. Yeah, Ayurvedic. So it's, you want to cook like nectar for everyone. So it will help with their health. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he talks about food in the mode of goodness. It's good for your health. It's pleasing. It's good for the heart. It's pleasing to the heart. So many nice qualities. Now, what shall we not do while we're cooking? Don't taste before Krishna. Don't go on your cell phone while you're cooking, if possible, unless it's an emergency. Try not to talk on the cell phone while you're cooking. This is our telling you the problems. Because somebody, it's like I saw, it's some people, it's like an addiction. Hours and hours on the cell phone. And that's like, you know, they're fun, they're enjoyment. So while you're cooking, try to, you can put CDs on and then tell them, okay, I'll call you back after 1 hour. And unless it's an emergency, of course, then you attend to the emergency. But most of the time, it's just more like pajama or something, something like that. Okay. So on special days, you make special prasad, kashi, and janmashtami. You can bring things to the temple also. So that is cooking. Anything else like cooking? Anybody would like to add anything? That's how we can make it more pleasing to Krishna. Yes, no, don't be angry while you cook, okay? That's good. Okay, so we talked about cooking, we talked about japa. Now number three is deity worship in your house. How many of you have deities? One, two, oh, many of you have deities. Okay. And so you can make your home a temple. Your home is a temple if you have deities. Now even if you don't have deities, you can make your home a temple. You should have a special place where you have some pictures and where you can offer your food to the pictures. And you may also have books there that can be read, like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, in this special place in your house. Spiritual books, where you can offer also spiritual pictures. And bhajans, maybe some kartals there, and you can have bhajans in the morning, evening in your house. And now if you have deities, you can make clothes. So many things you can do if you have deities. You can make clothes, you can bring flowers, make malas, and you can do arti. Now, if you have deities or not, you can sing still. You can have bhajan, chanting Hare Krishna. Actually, for this age of Kali, the main deity is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we worship him by chanting the holy name. So you can do this worship in your house very easily. You're just chanting Hare Krishna with your friends or with your family. This way you can make your house a temple. And so the housewife is the pujari also. Housewife is pujari. She has to do the aarti, the especially the offering, and maybe sew the clothes, maybe dress the deities. I don't, my husband sometimes is too busy, he has to go to work, so then the housewife becomes pujari. So this is a very wonderful thing to be a pujari. Srila Prabhupada said that in Vrindavan, when he was in Vrindavan, he said the highest service a human being can perform is to be a pujari. Because although pujari has a material body, the pujari serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you're touching Krishna, the pujari, you're touching Lord Chaitanya. So this is very special. You wake up Krishna, you bathe him, you dress him, you feed him, just like Mother Yashoda. And you're thinking, if I don't feed him, he will starve. And so you can, this, the housewife can do these things. She can make the house a temple and be very happy. Prabhupada says, these are activities of the spiritual world, but the pujari does them in this world. This is perfection of human life. There is nothing higher than being a pujari, Prabhupada says. If you are a pujari, you have attained your constitutional position, even in this world. You're liberated. So this is so wonderful. The housewife can be a pujari as well. And even if you don't have deities, you can be a pujari. You can be a pujari. So I think now we'll stop for questions, and then we'll go for the last two categories. We've talked about gratitude and japa and cooking and deity worship. Now, does anybody have any questions on these? Yes? Yes, yes.
So if you have the negative thoughts, that comes out in the whole day.
Yes, it does.
So how to get rid of anything I have two questions.
Okay. Actually, there is a saying, if two people want to get along in the relationship, one of them has to be humble. Otherwise, it won't work. So if you're the humble one, that's good, because then you can go back to Godhead. Chanada pin suni chena, that is the qualification for going back to Godhead. Now, whenever you get a negative thought about a person or about anything, like if it's about a person, then immediately you think about two positive things about that person. Okay, maybe this is a problem now. This problem, all right. But still, that person is a very, he's very faithful. He does his, he works hard. He tries to understand. So you think of two positive things. Every time for one negative, two positive. And then you thank Krishna for the positive. Oh, yeah, maybe now I'm seeing, because otherwise you go through the whole day with the negative, and you'll see the negative every time. Every time you'll see. And then, step number one, thinking. Step number two, speaking. You go and tell the person, you know, I really appreciate you because you have this quality. No, you shouldn't be cheated. No. There is actually, you need a whole course for this. So what is the problem when somebody would just take advantage? So then actually, I mean, there's a whole course on how to do these things. But the main thing is that you need to express how you feel.
Sometimes what happens, the tongue is very
So before you speak, count to ten. Actually, there's a whole Grihastha course for this, how to communicate with each other. But the main thing in communication is that you don't want to blame the other person, and you want to appreciate them, but you also must let them know how you feel. So there's a formula, actually. When you do this, then I feel this, I feel like this. When you don't come home, when you come home so late at night, I feel worried about you. I feel worried, I feel concerned. You know, so many feelings are there. Because maybe something happened. So then you have to express how you feel. And then both of the parties have to learn how to listen to each other. Not just to fight. Not just fighting is easy. That is Kali Yuga, age of Kali, age of quarrel. So it's natural to fight now. But how to speak in a loving way and appreciate. So before the fight happens, you find some good things to say. Every day. Something good. Some appreciation of the other person. And if something happens that, you know, you feel like you're cheated or taken advantage, then you must express yourself also. But not just in anger. Oh, you're like this, you're like this. No. Yeah, you also do this, you know. Not like that. But just express, well, when you do this, I feel like this. I'm feeling this is my... Yeah, we have to tolerate. if that's what you can do. Now, you can always try to do better. You can say, okay, today I did 4, but I would like to do 6 before, 6, 6, 4, or something like that, you know. But some days it can't work, you know. But then you encourage your mind, okay, I'm doing 4 before breakfast, 4 before lunch, you know. You encourage your, you don't just say, you know, it's hopeless, that I can't finish my 16. Yeah. Mangalarti in your house?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the question is whether to do Mangalarti or Japa first. But one thing you can do, I mean, you can't do exactly as a temple. You have to adapt your program to your own schedule. You can't completely do the whole morning program like the temple. It's just not going to work as far as we have to. So you have to see what is most important to you. That if you you can, perhaps you can just do Mangalarti and then Japa. And then later on do the Deepa Seva and all that. You can bring it up like that.
Wait, did you see on my husband or other two? You have to do this Aarti and prayers and everything and then Japa.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, if Mangalarti, if your family is accustomed to attending, then you have to keep it. Mangalarti has to be there. The prayers can be after. Mangalarti, japa, prayers, like that. But the Mangalarti, if it's a standard already, then it's not good to stop it. Try to keep that. But then all the other things, they can be until later. Yes?
In chanting, what is more important, quality or quantity?
Quality. Quality is the most important. Because two things are there. You want to, with your mouth, you want to chant clearly. With your ears, you want to hear every syllable. And then with your heart, you want to cry for Krishna, like a child crying for its mother. We know when our children really want their mother, what the crying sounds like. And so when we chant like that from the heart, then Krishna will come.
You mean suppose, so you have a busy day.
Right.
You know that tomorrow is a busy day.
Yeah.
And I cannot do 16 malas.
Yeah.
So even if I do 5 to 6 quantity malas, it's okay?
Well, if you're initiated, then the 16 should be there. But if you cannot do it one day, you can do it the next day. Like one day is a very busy day. If you're not initiated, then you can be more flexible. If you have initiation, then the 16 is a vow. So if one day is very, very busy, then you can do it the next day. You can make more on the next day. When it's not such a busy day, you can make up your vows. That's allowed. But if you're not initiated, then it's more flexible. You can do that. But after initiation, if you took the vow, then it has to be 16. The vow is important. Yes. And you can adjust to get up earlier if you can. Get up more early on that day. Sleep early the day before and get up earlier the next day. And that will help you to achieve your goal. And if somebody else can do what the work you have to do, think of if you can get any help. That would be good too. Okay, so I think we'll go on now. We've discussed 3 things. 2 are remaining, children's care and like preaching from the house, the house life. So children's care. Now for this, I'm going to write on this board here. We have 4 categories of children's care. Children's needs, 4 categories. Physical and emotional intellectual. Thank you.
very difficult to balance these things. Because your children, they have to go to school, they have exams, and then at the same time, you have the spiritual. Of course, the spiritual for us is most important than devotees, but these other aspects cannot be neglected as well for children. So, for children, what are the physical needs of children? Raise your hands if you can. Yes. Love.
I think that's emotional
and spiritual. We're talking now about the body. Of course, we don't usually talk about that in Christian consciousness, but the body is there, even for the children. Sometimes, eating nicely, nutritious food, clean clothes, and what? Physical exercise. Yes. But that's one. Physical exercise. They need
discipline,
right? Yeah. And what else do children need? What do children do all the time?
Play.
They need to play. Recreation and play. They need that. And so this is actually from our rehearsal seminar. So I just wanted to share it with you because you're all helpless. They need also adequate space in the clean environment. They need space to be. Health care, of course, shelter. And here is added appropriate contact with nature and the elements. They need to go out sometimes to a park or a nice place or Vrindavan, Mayapur, you take them to Mayapur. It's also good even, I don't know in Bali if it's possible, but if there's some park nearby, they should have exercise and play. Also quality time, they need, with you. Sometimes you need to just listen to them and encourage them. So that is physical. Anything else on physical? Okay, emotional. That is affection, love. Also fun. What else? And this thing, we can make Krishna consciousness fun, like games and like this. Krishna consciousness games. Anything else on the emotional? Yes? Is there something else? No. Yeah, I have a whole list here, so I can give you. Yeah, emotional support to them. Yes. Here, I'll tell you what is here. You must praise them. Give praise and encouragement sometimes. Oh, it's, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Oh, you're naughty. Oh, you made a mistake. Praise them also. Encourage them also. They need that to grow. Otherwise, they will get inferiority complex. You know? Praise them.
We have to engage them a little bit. Whatever they like. As for their
Yeah, engage them according to their desire. And that's very good. That's very good. Kindness, consideration, compassion, honesty, because they will do what you do. If you're not honest, then they won't be honest. Respect. And also, dependable routine. You should be able to have a schedule that you follow for them. That's very important for emotional growth for children. To have a proper schedule that, and they know you're always there for lunch, you will always be there to feed them, you will always be there at a certain time of the day where they can see you and talk to you. That's very important for children. Also, reasonable expectations. Especially like in India, they expect the children to do so much in school, and some of them, they fail to commit suicide. You know? So we have to be reasonable with our expectations, and not to push them so much that they have emotional problems. So I know the school system is very competitive here, and so allow them to still have time for their recreation and encourage them in their studies, but be reasonable with your expectations. Like, you have to be the first in the class, or else I'll punish you, you know. Not like that. You have to be first, you have to be second, or whatever. No. And there are cases like this, There are cases. So reasonable expectations, and again, quality time, and also fair rules. Like you may have rules in the house. You don't throw your clothes on the floor, or things like this. You must clean your room every 2 days. You may have some rules that you expect them to do. That should be fair. Not that something they can do, actually, for their age, appropriate for their age, and like that. So now that is emotional. Intellectual, proper education, of course, that they need to stimulate their intelligence. And because many, as previously in our movement, the children's intellectual needs were not met properly. They would not even know how to read and write so well. So that now it has to be written down here. You should know reading and math and skills to manage in today's world, because oftentimes they would graduate from the school and they wouldn't know how to do anything. And then they would go try to get a job and they couldn't fill up the form application. So they have to know these things. I think here is not a problem for this. Training, now this is an important intellectual training, how to be kind, considerate, and ethical. I have one of my friends in Mayapur, one of the leaders in Mayapur, and his wife, they have a son, and they're training him so nicely to be a manager, a future manager of the society. And they're training him how to share with other children, how to be kind, like he has maybe a little bit more than the other children, how to make friends with all the children and share his things with them. They're teaching him. And he's 3 years old, like that. And then now when I met him again, he was 5 or 6. And I came there, and his parents were building some flats to sell in my court. And he saw me, he said, oh, can we give her a flat, Mom? And then we'll give this flat to this one, and this flat to this one, and this one. So he was already giving away all the flats to everybody. But that was his training, in which they had trained him like that. So it's important training, intellectual training, that the children know how to share, how to be kind, how to be considerate, and also fair, ethical. And we should guide them also in spiritual life. They need that guidance. They need books to read, and they should be able to understand how they fit into the spiritual culture, how they fit into Krishna consciousness, that they must know. And also even the history and everything, Mahabharata, they should know Mahabharata, they should know the history, Ramayana, Mahabharata. This is history, history of Greater India. They should know these things. And as you said, development of natural talent. If they have a musical ability, artistic ability, they should be encouraged. And how to do it for Krishna. If they have ability to memorize, they can memorize verses. So these abilities should be developed and encouraged. That's intellectual. Now, spiritual, of course, they should have knowledge about Krishna and the spiritual world. That I think they must have. They should engage in acts of compassion, like distributing food and things like that. They should be trained to be servant, to share. They should... we have to be an example to them how to be a servant and to give instructions. And they should also have like spiritual CDs, books, resources. And it's good if they can come with the adults and do some devotional service together with the adults. If you're doing some type of service, of course they can't do the cooking, but the other things they can do, like making garlands or something. They should have enlivening spiritual activity, something that's fun to do, like the festival of Rath Yatra. And understand their spiritual nature, help those less fortunate. These are all spiritual things the children can do. And they should be given reasonable answers to life's ultimate question. Who am I? What is this world? How is it created? They should know all these things. This is spiritual needs. Okay, any questions? Children's care. So the last topic is preaching. Make your own preaching center. Invite friends. Have weekly kirtan. Make an anhat. Distribute books. Make your devotees. So many things. And if you cannot go out of your house, that's okay. Then you invite people and have kirtan and distribute prasadam and just read. If you cannot yourself give class, you can invite the monks to give class. Or if you cannot give class, you can just read from the books and ask everybody to. Oh, one thing I forgot with the children. I saw one family of seven children. And very Krishna conscious children. And every night they will sit together from oldest to youngest and they will read Krishna books and they'll pass around the book. And everybody had to read, mother, father, and seven children, every night before sleeping. Even the smallest child would have to read. And so it's like activities like this, you bring the whole family together to do things. And so they were very nice family. They are still there. They have their own business. And they do that. So, preaching. One Brahmana, there's a story about Lord Chaitanya. He met one Brahmin, and the Brahmin was so attached to Lord Chaitanya, he said, please, I want to go with you. I cannot tolerate material life. And Lord Chaitanya said, don't talk like that. You stay home and chant the holy name of Krishna, always. So Prabhupada, he explained, it's not advisable to leave your family suddenly in Kali Yuga. People are not trained in proper brahmacharis and vihastas. So Lord Chaitanya advised the Brahmin, don't be so eager to give up your family life. You stay in your family and chant Hare Krishna regularly. And you don't even have to take sannyas. And then there's a very famous verse by Lord Chaitanya, Jari Deko, Kari Koho, Krishna Upade, Ama Agya, Guru Moya, Thara Vinde. This is what he told his Brahmin when the Brahmin wanted to leave his family. This instruction was to the Grihastha. Jari Deko, Kari, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. This is instruction to Grihastha. This is our duty, it's Lord Chaitanya's order. Instruct everyone to follow Krishna's orders in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, become guru and liberate everyone. So this is very important instruction. The problem is that many people come and they say, do I have to give up my family? Do I have to give up my job? I met one man on the train on the way here from Vrindavan and he would say, oh, everybody has to leave their job and give up their family. I said, no, Krishna didn't tell Arjuna to leave his family and give up his job in Sheffield. No, you stay, but you make it Krishna's family and Krishna conscious. And then Lord Chaitanya, he says, Kavu nava vimeto mat vishay samanga purarapi yekhai pavim or shunga. If you follow this instruction, you tell everybody about Krishna, then your material life at home will not stop your spiritual advancement. And if you follow this, we will meet again. Or you will see me. You will never lose my company. So this is a very wonderful. Prabhupada said this is an opportunity for everyone. Just follow this instruction of Lord Chaitanya, chant Hare Krishna. Tell everybody about Krishna and chanting. And you will not be contaminated by material life. He said it doesn't matter if you live in a holy place like Vrindavan, Navadvip, Puri, or New York, Paris, London, or Bombay, you can make every place Vrindavan. Just by following another, you can make all the Navadvip. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was Grihastha. He always engaged in the service of the Lord. His house, his mentality was, I am the servant, and all my children, my wife, they are servants of Krishna, so I am just taking care of your house, Krishna, and your servants. I am taking care of your servants. So even the husband also should have the mentality that I am the servant. I am the servant. I am taking care of Krishna's servants. I'm working in my job to take care of all of Krishna's servants and Krishna's house. about Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he sings one song. I'll just say one line, which is for your husband. Nijay Guru Kri Hai Vasano Te Ki Kri Hai Te Koro Bhavaya. One day, when I'm doing my puja, my whole house transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. So Bhakti Vinod had that experience. We can also have that experience. If we just try to chant Hare Krishna and have these three qualities, purity, cleanliness, quality, and we can change our whole house into Goloka. We can see it also, just like Bhakti Vinod, he saw, he got the vision. And one last instruction, when Grihastha asked Lord Chaitanya, my Lord, I'm Grihastha, materialistic, I don't know how to advance. Please instruct me what to do. Lord Chaitanya gave three orders to this Grihastha, and that is for all of us. Brahma Kalyan, number one, Krishna Seva. Number two, Vaishnava Seva. Three, Nirantar Koro Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Seva, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. These are the duties of Grihastha. So the wife is the inspiration for the whole family. If the wife is Krishna conscious, the children, the husband, everybody will become. So very important to be the wife, the housewife, in Krishna consciousness. Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Seva, and Nirantara Koro, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Okay? So we'll stop here. Any more questions on anything that we can do? Or on anything, not even just on this, just if we have any questions on spiritual life or anything. Yeah, first thing in the morning, if possible.
The second thing that if we are serving Krishna,
serious, you can make forgiveness. Please, I made a mistake. And the sooner the better, the faster then the better. Yeah, I made a mistake today. Please take this prasadam and please forgive me. And I really appreciate you, and I know you're trying hard to do your service. And please accept this gift from me, like that. If it's a verbal thing, then you can also say, you know, verbally. And if it's a mental thing, it's usually mental, they don't know. Nobody knows what we're saying. Thank goodness, nobody knows what is in the mind, because then it would be a... But what is in the mind comes to the words, and then comes into the action. Pardon me? Yes, if envy is there, it's in anartha. So the chanting is the most powerful way to get rid of this anartha. That's why I emphasize the chanting. It's the yuga dharma. The more chanting you can do, I know one time I was doing curry throughout the day, and I didn't get angry. It really is very helpful. If you can, the older you get, then you will have to do more of the mental and intellectual. Your body cannot do so much. So, but even now it's helpful, because you won't be able to do 12 hours a day the whole life.
Yeah.
It will be, physically, it won't be possible. So you have to, you will have to, there will come a point where you'll have to do it more chanting and more reading and these things, and more preaching. Like myself, I was also very physically, like when I was in Pujari in Calcutta, 20 hours a day, 4 hours a week. And then that was when I was young, like in my 20s. But now I'm 60, I can't do that anymore. I can't do this 20 hours. I have to sleep 7-8 hours. And I need rest, I need to do exercise, yoga, so many things just to keep the body going. And so then my service now has become more of the speaking and chanting, reading on that level. So that is also service. Chanting is also service. It's not just to use your body, it's service. Chanting is very important because it's the Hare Krishna movement and it's Lord Chaitanya's teaching that we chant Hare Krishna. So this Hare Krishna is so powerful. In the mantra, it has the power to take out these anarchists from your heart. But we have to know. Today, in tonight's class, I'll speak about the chanting and give some ways that you can get rid of the anarchists. I'll give you some things you can do while you're chanting and before you chant. Some ways to improve your chanting today. Tonight's class will be about chanting, and then tomorrow about Prabhupada, and then the next day will be about reading, how to read better, the books. And then after that, deity worship, more personal relationship with the deities. And the last day will be entering the Holy Dao. Okay, any other questions? Can somebody tell me the time, because I can't read this. It's too small.
11:40.
Okay, we have time. Yes. Darshan of your Japamala. I'm so happy for that. Until like 40
they know
months.
They know how will be happy. If they do something for Krishna, then only will be happy.
They know that.
But they have to accept it. That's for them.
Yeah. Yeah. One time when I called him, he was in America, and I said, did you have darshan of your chapa mala lately? He said, oh, I still didn't unpack my mala. Oh, unpack it. Okay, unpack it now. Let's see. So it's like that, you know. Yeah, so it can be, it has to be sometimes like in a joking way, in a loving way, you know. Not, oh, what's wrong with you? You're not chatting around. Well, it's nothing to work when you're 21 years old, you know. And you're out there working hard and going to school and doing your own life. And then it has to be in a loving way and maybe even indirectly through friends. And by your example, that you're happy. And you're happy and you're making other people happy. And they will understand, oh yes, my mother's happy and she's helping other people. Maybe something's there, you know. It has to be an example, yeah?
During Manchester, DQ assignment, there is nobody at home.
Yeah.
So what is the DQ?
Okay.
To offer the mudra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, during Manchester, if you're doing DQ worship and nobody's there, yeah, it's an emergency you can do. Because it's like if you have to take care of your child, then you have to. Even if you have menses or not menses, your child is there. And so it's not the same as the deity in the temple. It's like your home deity. Now, best, of course, is if somebody else does. That's the best thing. But if there is nobody, then you have to take care of your child.
Because
it's better if the husband does. But if he cannot do, then what they have to do, when the children get big, children can do. But if there's no money, then of course, then the wife, then you have to do. Actually, when I was in Calcutta and Pujari, I had to do, because there was nobody in the temple except me. I was only Pujari. So for a few years, maybe 3-4 years, I had to do everything during that. But then after they got 4 people, and we had only like few devotees in the temple, so that was in the very beginning. Now it's not a problem, but in the very beginning of the movement, now they don't do that in the temple anymore.
Now in all temples, they allow the women to be in the pujari?
In the West.
In the West.
In India, I don't think so. It used to be when Prabhupada was here, all the pujaris were women, except in Mayapur. And Chopati, the women are doing pujari. In Chopati. Before it was all women, but there is problem if there are single women and singing brahmachari, so it's not so easy. And then you get your menses and the whole world knows because you're not coming. You know, make one announcement. Yeah, okay, it depends on your mentality. Now, in the Indian system, you don't come. And if you are, actually the best thing is to rest. For you, physically, the best thing is to just rest. If you don't rest during this time, when you're 40, 50 years old, you'll get health problems. This is what happened to me. Because I never rested, I never had pain. What's the problem? So, between 40 and 50, big problem. so many physical and emotional problems came because I did not rest. So I can tell you from experience that the best thing for you is to rest. And don't move around so much. But if you work, now it's Kali Yuga, women have jobs, women go out, they have to do so many things, it's not like before. And so in that case, you have to do what you have to do. You have to go to work, you have to go to school, you have to take care of your children. There's no, as she said, there's no extended family anymore. And so you do the best you can. You can go to the temple. Prabhupada was asked this question by my god sister. And he said, yes, you can come, you should wear silk. You should wear silk clothes and you can come to the temple. You should wear silk. And it's okay, especially all Western women, they're not going to stay home and sit in the room. No, none of the Western women, and now Bombay is very Westernized, so same mentality is there, I think, for many of the youth. So it's allowed to come to temple, but you don't do the puja, you don't offer the flowers. It's good if you stay near the back, so that in case pujari comes, you don't get touched, you know, they don't touch you or see you. Better to say, don't offer the flowers to Guru Puja. But you can come and observe. But don't do like the no cooking. And you know, some women do that, and some temples the women cook. So no cooking, no deity worship. But coming is all right. Especially if you know if the Guru's come, Prince Yaki is there, you want to come. So it's okay. You can come. Prabhupada loves. Prabhupada loves, yeah. Anything else? Other questions? You're trying to become humble. You're a failure. Yeah, trying to become humble is very difficult. Especially if we have a big false ego. Our ego will say, "Why? What's wrong with you? You're a good devotee, you don't have to do this." So we have to practice. Obeisance is a very good practice. Obeisance is to others. Even to our equals. Tomorrow I will do a class for the Vaishnava etiquette for the youth girls. So I'm going to teach them how to do obeisances. Obeisances to seniors, obeisances to equals, obeisances to juniors. Obeisances, very important of life, a part of our devotional life. When you bow down, your body, your head is going down. But is your mind going down? No. Mind should also go down. And heart should go up. The mind is something else. When you offer obeisance, then you have three parts. There's the body, that's okay. Then we have the words. So we speak also our obeisance, our prayers. We speak when we go down. Then where is the mind? Is it still up there or is it down there? Should be down. So in the material world, the mind is up and the heart is down. But for devotees, the heart should be up and the mind should be down. It's like that. And so we have to practice. Because we're born in this world with our ego, and the ego is telling you are the best, you are the greatest, and nobody can be as good as you. But it's not. The truth is that we're all dear to Krishna, all servants of Krishna. He loves us equally. But if you love his servants, then you'll go faster. Back to Godhead. It'll be much faster for you to go inside the door. If your ego is too big, it won't fit in the door to the lower. It has to be very small. Small, very small. Ego won't fit. False ego. I'll show a picture tonight, which I showed last time, so about the ego. Yeah, how can we increase our sadhana? So increase it. First, if you want to increase, there's a whole art to that. I can do a whole seminar just on how to increase your sadhana. First, I can tell you three steps. First step, like whatever sadhana you're doing, like chanting. Okay, chanting is one sadhana. Your deity worship is another sadhana. You watch you're chanting, how you're chanting first. For 1 week, you just observe how are you chanting. Just observe. Don't change anything. Second week, you decide, okay, I want to improve in this way. Suppose you say, okay, I want to increase the number of my rounds. Yeah. Or you want to, I want to increase my quality. How many times I'm crying out to Krishna? Like a child for the mother. So there's quantity and quality. Or quantity may also mean that you, how many rounds am I just chanting in one place without interruption? That's also quantity. So first week you just observe. Second week you decide, okay, what you want to improve. You take one, maybe one thing from quantity and one from quality. Quality also means to hear properly the mantra. Hearing and chanting, that's the two things for quality. So you choose one thing and you meditate on that thing you want to improve for one more week. And you pray, Prabhupada, I would like to improve this in my chanting. And you be very positive. I love to chant without interruption. I love to chant with quality. You know, you make also very positive for 1 week. Then 1 month you do it. And you make you say, okay, I'm going to do this.
Because I wanted to take 32 rounds.
Okay. And you're asking about your mandalarchy. Okay.
Sometimes
there is an interest. Well, before 32, you can go to 20, you can go slowly. You know? I mean, you see. You have to try it. You observe first, you know, what is, how you're spending your time, where is the time for it. The first week you observe, where is the time for making it more, increasing my own. Then the second week you decide, okay, I can increase by this much. Maybe 8 more rounds, you can do 24, 25, increase to 25. Okay, this much, for 1 month I will increase to 25. Kartik is good time to do this, or Purushottama also. But any time is good.
Chaturmas I used to do it.
Yeah, Purushottama, yeah. So this is called, this is how, this is actually a scientific way to change your habits. Anything you do for 1 month, it will be easier to do that than to go back to your old habit. So if you first week observe, second week pray, and third, and then 1 month you do, then it will work. Otherwise, if you just do, okay, tomorrow I'll do the next day, it's gone. Yeah. And so, but you just do it like that. Yes, I have one book I have, it's Japa Reform. One person has written Japa Reform, not Satsumaraj, another one. And he has taken the techniques from the outside, and this is the technique. 1 week observation, 1 week prayer, 1 month you do, and then your habit is changed. And it's easier to do this, do it the new way than the old way. So you think, well, how you, this is, example is chanting. You can do it for anything. Yeah. Yeah, also, but if chanting is the best. Yeah, it helps the rest, it helps anything else.
Because
the Bhakti Siddhanta
Sandhu, he has chanted for 9 years.
Yes. He can do. He can do. Yeah, he went out in the jungle and that was it. So we have our house, we have our husbands, we have our children. So we can ask him to say bunch of
That's
why 32 is good. 32 is good. When you chant, I chanted 32 rounds and I found I didn't get angry, I was more humble, I didn't fight with people so much. You know, it really makes you much more in the mode of goodness. But it really, quantity means you're with Krishna more. You're more with Krishna, hopefully, if your mind is not somewhere else while you chant. You're with Krishna much more if you chant more rounds. But, yes. Oh yeah, you don't force them. It's not for them. Even in the Gurukul, they don't give them japa beads. They just even up to I think 8, they don't give the beads. 7, 8. It's not that to force them because that was the problem with my son. He was forced in the Gurukul. Then he sees that I was forced to do so. It's something I don't want to do. Then they want to do the opposite. if you force them. They will do the opposite, especially when they become teenagers. And so, no, you make it fun. Make it like, oh, this is so much fun, and we're going to change. And you can give them rewards. Instead of punishment, you make it, you give them, oh, if you can, you know, maybe Krishna and Radharani will be kind, and, you know, there's some lodges, maybe, I think, somewhere. For people, you know, Radharani is so pleased with your chanting that there is, I think, some lovers will come here. She will give you some lovers. And, you know, something like, more like rewards. In the spiritual, it's not looking for. It's not looking for the children. No, that's all right. If they like to do, that's the best thing. Then how much time they can do, they do. And then they play and whatever. And they should not be forced to, okay, you have to sit there, chant 8 rounds or 10 rounds or something like that. No.
Even 1 round is too much.
Prabhupada, he couldn't sit still for 2 minutes. Or his son couldn't sit still for 2 minutes. And one of his friends told his Prabhupada's son, okay, if you sit still for 2 minutes, I'll give you a rupee. That time rupee was very valuable. He couldn't do it. He couldn't sit for 2 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we will stop here. And thank you all for coming.
Oh, we have some prasad here. Yeah.
So,
prasad,
we
have
to be kind.
Get
this one I cannot do. This doesn't belong to me.
Okay.
that's harmless. That's harmless.
Yeah.
But cinema
is
bad.
It's compulsory that we have to take them out.
Yeah, yeah, you should take them out. That is harmless. It's, I mean, if they go for the ride, that's nothing. But the cinema is bad. Because the picture goes in your heart. That is not good. I mean, rides and these things, that's okay. That's no bad. No harm.
No.